Here we are. And Victor, we are here. Episode 21. 21 episodes was the goal, and we made it to episode 21. So statistically, they say we're in the top 5% of all podcasts. And what a journey, man. We've been on it.
That's been a journey. Days,
weeks off with vacations and time off, but 21 episodes. We're here sharing the knowledge. How do you feel?
It's like you said, man, it's been a journey. This is new to me. You got some experience in you. But I've had a lot of fun doing this, and it's so cool to be able to connect and be able to share so much ideas and tips and seeing what people have to say. So it's been fun, and I look forward to keep it going.
I love it, man. So we should do another 21.
I'm all for it. Let's do another 21. 42. Here we come.
All right, good, because we just bought some microphones and lights to do in person. So let's keep it going. I love it. Well, yeah, look, keep going. I know it's exciting, man. It's exciting that we've shared this much knowledge. We're getting feedback. People are seeing it. I love it. So if you're listening now, we appreciate you joining us for the episodes. We have some good stuff in the back, and we've only gotten better every episode. But again, as always, if you hear something that you like or something of value today, make sure to share it with a friend that's in the industry, because we share stuff all the time that we see on Instagram and TikTok with each other, just amongst our team. There's a lot of people putting out good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, we share. You send me through LinkedIn, Instagram. We're always like back and forth sharing what other, you know, managers and what other people are saying. So it's cool to see, you know, everybody kind of connecting and having similar ideas, but unique in their own way, right? So that's cool.
Yeah, man, we've been doing a good job. We've had a busy couple of weeks. We've onboarded some new people on our team. We've got some properties that we're trying to onboard, which is always fun and challenging, which we'll talk a little bit about at the end, but a lot. But today we'll cover some fun topics and some interesting topics, because it's always evolving in our industry. But I think we can get into the first one, right?
Let's do it.
So first topic here is the vacation rental industry is lobbying and getting more involved in government, because they're starting to see that a lot of the governments in big cities are clamping down on vacation rentals. And we saw it in New York. It's happening in Los Angeles. It's happening in other cities across the country. And we've seen it internationally too, where Barcelona now is spraying their tourists with water guns and trying to close down the vacation rentals by 2028. So a lot of focus on how the vacation rental world maybe is increasing costs for others and taking away housing. But we're going to see how this goes. I think that there's a lot of things that people don't know about the vacation rental industry, and the hotel industry has strong lobbyists too that protect the hotels, and we're involved in both worlds. So we get to see what both are sharing, and they're both trying to protect their, you know, associations and their platforms, and they're doing their best, but sometimes you lose out. And we start seeing some things in New York where hotels do great now. They have high ADR. They're getting the biggest occupancy percentage they've had in a long time, but the housing rates have not gone down like they expected when they got rid of all the vacation rentals. So it's always interesting to see the two different points, but what are you thinking about this? Because we're involved in multiple cities now. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, we almost had that change here in Florida, and thankfully that got vetoed, and, you know, we're working through with, you know, the government to put something, you know, together, because as our governor here in Florida said, DeSantis, that, you know, we're putting bureaucratic, you know, red tape with what they had presented, and thankfully got vetoed. So we're working our way here, you know, ourselves. And I know the conference, the association that we're a part of in favor, and I've mentioned this before, we meet every month and we get updated and we update our owners. So now other states are learning from, you know, what kind of transpired here, and how we all got together, and we've talked about it on the podcast before, how we were sending out emails to all of our friends, our families, our teams, our associates to sign these waivers to veto this bill. So it's interesting to see. I saw, you know, through this article, New York and the hotel rates that gone up. I'm sure that's, you know, kind of been all in unison, as now short-term rentals have dropped significantly. You know, where else is everybody going to stay? New York is still one of the top tourist destinations. So are we. So it's interesting to see how, you know, the hotels are coming and, like you mentioned, lobbying all together. And I feel that's what the vacation rental, you know, should be doing. And we're seeing that are doing. There's a lot more money now going into lobbying for vacation rental. So it's good to see that we're becoming a team, becoming unison.
Yeah, I think so. And I think what needs to happen what I would love to see is, you know, when you open a hotel in a city, you know the rules. Like, here is what you need. Here's what you have to do. Here's everything you need to file for. And vacation rentals in a lot of cities, is there is no rules. It's just kind of like, we think you're allowed. You may not be allowed. You are allowed. Well, not in this zone, but in this zone. And no, we don't give out permits. We do give out permits. So it's hard to figure out what to do, especially with a lot of the clients that we have. Like, we have a good handle on our local markets, but going into some new markets, it's like the Wild West. And I think that's where the problems come in, is where there aren't clear regulations. And then that's when you have the bad actors come in and give a bad name to the industry.
I agree. And we've had the conversation before, and we're planning something cool, you know, specific to the realtors, because if we think about it, you know, all of these investors that are coming into Florida to invest in short-term rental that don't know necessarily the regulations or the rules, hopefully they're reaching out to a management company that's local and finding that information out and partnering with a local management company. But really, it's the realtor, you know, they're depending on. So that's what we're thinking in the first line of defense and the first people who we think really should be knowledgeable, especially if they're, you know, helping investors specifically to short-term rentals, is for those realtors to be, you know, understanding of what the local regulations are, or teaming up, you know, with a local management company, especially, you know, one like ours. And we have our in-house realtor where, you know, we work together hand in hand. When we have an investor or somebody that's interested, or she picks up the lead, we're working hand in hand and making sure that the properties that they're looking to invest in are in the right area. So, you know, we're going to set up a really cool, you know, kind of like a dinner /
networking and education
networking event, where we want to bring, you know, all these realtors into the house, and we want to take them step by step, because, yeah, you know, they are, I'm sure, are knowledgeable about, you know, numbers, areas where, you know, the prices are great. That's, you know, that's what they do all day. But this is, you know, completely different beast. So
no, it's true. It's true. And like, just like yesterday, you had to go to a city. What was it, Pompano? That you had to go to City Hall.
Yeah, Tadinia.
And Tadinia to figure out what was going on with one of the properties. And you had to go in person with the owner and hold their hands and be there for them. That's the kind of service that we give at Tangy.
Hey.
You know, Victor was there to make sure that everything was taken care of, because it had taken forever just to get what we needed done.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, no, that was an interesting, that's a good topic that you brought up. And that's, you know, another factor in there, you know, with the owner itself renewing a short-term rental permit, but they basically didn't approve the renewal because they wanted the property to go up to code. And up to code meaning that the parking situation needed to be addressed, as it's a 3-unit property and all of the units have or need one parking space per unit. And the property currently has one parking space, but we use the swale, the city swale, as parking, but typically that's not necessarily a parking for the property. So that's where, you know, the owner and we were, you know, kind of working through, because we didn't know this information. But it's to your point, you know, let's go to the right places. Let's go to City Hall and speak and get in front of the people that, you know, put all of this together and figure it out. And I think that's the good practice, right?
That's a great practice. It's a great practice. I think a good transition into our next topic, which is Vacasa. And so Vacasa, for those that don't know, is probably the biggest name in our industry. And they are, you know, first I want to say we never wish bad on any companies. We don't want anyone to do bad, because it'll make us look not great as an industry. And Vacasa was one that came out of the gates quickly. They got this vacation rental business down, where they were able to start buying local vacation rental companies and put it all under one brand and start to roll out their standards. But they grew really quickly. And I think the last number they were up to was 40,000 homes that they managed under Vacasa. Right. And they just hit a brick wall. They went public right after the pandemic, where some companies did, under a SPAC, which was kind of like, you get shares, you get out there, you start going public, even though you may not have the financial to do it. And they were running as a tech company in vacation rental, when really they're a management company using really good tech, is how I look at it. And so now they're losing money. They've lost 9% of their properties. So, almost 4,000 properties. And we're starting to see things like that where we're picking them up, right, as local companies. And I think it touches to what you're saying is, you know, I want to hear your opinion on this, but it's hard to grow and maintain standards across that many places and not have boots on the ground everywhere and outsource cleaning and outsource handyman and outsource all these things.
Oh yeah.
And you know, you start seeing the guest reviews go bad. You start seeing revenue management go bad. The owners aren't happy because they're not getting the attention and money they need.
Exactly.
So now they're struggling. So what do you think about this when you see it?
Yeah, and it was interesting in there. And you just touched on the topic there that these owners that are jumping ship and leaving Vacasa were expressing the owner company communication. You know, we've talked about that here in this channel of how important it is to have that, you know, owner communication within the team and setting up processes and setting up, you know, forms of communication with them where they know who to contact and they have a clear message of who they can contact. And I'm sure, you know, they don't want a website link where they can send in their inquiry. They most likely want to speak with somebody in person. So that's very important. And like you mentioned, you know, these properties are now looking towards management companies. You know, I had a call last week with a new lead that came in. And right off the bat, you know, when we first started our conversation, she's like, I just spoke with Vacasa and I ran through her all of the services and everything that we offer. And she was like, yeah, you as a local company are offering much more than what Vacasa can offer because now they're basically partnering or basically transitioning our communication with Vacasa with the local management. So it was interesting to see Vacasa charges now a, you know, 12 to 15% of their services. And then the local managers now charge a percentage. So they're giving more freedom to those local management companies that I'm sure, you know, they purchased or bought over to be that, you know, kind of liaison with those owners. So that was very, very interesting to see as they roll on and interesting for a person that had that conversation with Vacasa, communicating that to us and seeing that there's more value in, you know, going with us directly versus a big company like that. What do you think about that?
I think that if I was giving Vacasa some advice, which they're not going to hear this most likely, but if I could give advice, they're already starting it where they're getting rid of a lot of their corporate office. Like they had a lot of layers at this corporate level, but not enough people in the actual cities that are their biggest hubs.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like they're already making that transition is you need some owner's reps or someone who's in that local community really organizing things, just like you went with the owner. Right. We've talked about it. Like, is this the best use of our time? Maybe. Mm-hmm. It looks like it is. We saved the vacation rental property for our company and you helped an owner who's now very happy. They need more of that. And that's the high touch that you get in hospitality. I think a lot of vacation rental, the businesses, I'm going to set it up with technology and be as least involved as possible unless there's an emergency.
Exactly. Right?
So I think there's this fine balance that we're approaching, which I think needs to happen where it is. We get involved, not just on emergencies, but before they arrive, we understand what their needs are. We're inspecting the places to make sure they're clean and ready. We have eyes and ears at every property that we walk through. We talk about it every day in morning meetings. You know, you need that kind of level of detail that you have in hotels in the vacation rental industry. And it's hard to do it when you have 40,000, you know, separate properties. It's not like 40,000 hotel rooms that, you know, some big companies have, like, you know, the Marriott's of the world and the Hilton's have hundreds of thousands of rooms, but they have eyes and ears at every single property that are managing every single one of them. It's not just like, oh, there's that hotel and we're never there. We don't know what's happening. We just outsource the cleaning.
Yeah. You make a great point. And, you know, Vacasa with so many properties, you know, they most likely internally consider themselves a hospitality management company, you know, where the guest, the owner is their true, you know, true client, but they are forgetting that missing piece of the property itself, right? And all of that is involved in maintaining and upkeeping a property because, you know, ultimately you are managing a home. You know, not only are you managing the home, but you're also managing the guest and the experience there on that end. So I think probably that's where they're working themselves through and trying to figure out how to close that loop.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because people are like, oh, well, Airbnb doesn't have problems. Well, Airbnb doesn't manage anything. Airbnb is just the platform to sell the rooms on. I think a lot of people get confused with that, with Airbnb and VRBO and different things. Like they don't manage any of their own stuff. They're providing a platform, bringing eyes to their platform to get people in the homes that we put on that platform. And so that's the difference with Vacasa is that they were not doing that. They were actually a platform plus managing everything. And that is where the challenge comes in because you have to have the staff, you have to have the know-how. And if people aren't booking directly with you, like I'm still sure you walk up and ask anyone, hey, what do you think of Vacasa? If they're not in the industry, they'd be like, what are you talking about? What's Vacasa, right? Or like the other biggest one is Sonder, which is also struggling, right? Those two names, we know them, but you know, I asked my parents or my wife, she wouldn't know what I'm talking about because she doesn't look at it all the time. So they still say, it's an Airbnb. Right. I was at a conference yesterday. I was like, what do you do? I was like, oh, I manage vacation rentals and short-term rentals. You know, we provide a lot of hospitality solutions to those. And like, oh, it's like Airbnb.
Airbnb. That's a similar conversation I have. And it's interesting, you know, we're talking about Airbnb, and we know, you know, that they solely don't manage properties, even though they're trying to get into that market, but they have representatives. You know, you mentioned that about Vacasa. They have representatives that basically cater to the local market. We have, you know, our rep here in South Florida, Christina, and we know her, you know, by first name. And, you know, so they make an effort to do that and to have representatives where hosts, you know, can contact. So maybe, like you said, if Vacasa is listening or hearing this, you know, maybe local representatives, that's something that can really kind of help them out.
I think they'll do it. I think just kind of like how some other companies contacted us in the past for a small percentage of the nightly rate to do the housekeeping and emergencies. I think they'll do more and more of that. But we wish them the best. There's a lot of good people working at Vacasa. We don't want to see anything bad happen to them. I hope they can pull out of it. But it's been a tough year and a half for them. And I really hope they make it for us. All right. So we talked about we're onboarding a couple of properties. And that's a big challenge, right? Especially when you're onboarding something that comes from scratch. And, you know, I'm going to give it to you, right? Before we talk about the solutions and furnishing things, what are some of the challenges that you see, you know, you can tell a property owner that they could expect, right? Because sometimes I'm going to buy a place and it's going to be easy. What are some things that you've seen with property owners that are the challenges of getting things onboarded efficiently and quickly?
Yeah, I mean, we like to make it very clear for the owners, you know, there's an onboarding that goes on for us as a company, as a management company, that they, you know, their softwares and systems that they're going to have access to that they need to, you know, kind of wrap their heads around. And then there's the onboarding of the property itself, right? You know, all of the furniture, all of the items and everything that is required to be, you know, in that property, and then add another layer on top of that. And then it's the permit process, you know, so for a new homeowner, for a new person, a new investor that has never dealt with this before, it can get, you know, very, very overwhelming. And there's so many facets that happen here. So, you know, first off is the furnishing, right? I mean, the perfect, we always say we wave that magic wand for us when we bring out a new property. What would that look like? You know, that would look like we send out a list to the owner of everything that needs to get done in the property. If they want to get it done themselves and save them the cost, 100%. But if not, you know, in our perfect world, it would be for us to take it on from the beginning. So, you know, we're thinking about the property, the experience, what needs to, you know, be furnished, the style, the design. We have a great team, you know, that helps us and sees us through. And that part itself is just, you know, a component in itself that's very, very overwhelming if you put yourself in an owner's position. We've done this time and time again. You know, this is something that you know, comes easier to us. So that's the first step. Then the second step is the permitting process and going through that. You know, over here in Florida is very different as to other places, but, you know, they need to have the from the DBPR, they need to have their license and their permit with the state, and then they need to get everything in order here with the city itself. So that's the second facet. And then the third, you know, the onboarding and all the software and the systems and the capabilities that they're going to be having with Tangi. So it's really, really, you know, overwhelming for a new owner. And that's why we want to make it seamless and, you know, step-by-step process on how it's going to get done and communicate that with the owner so they don't feel, you know, that overwhelmingness. So, but what have you seen? I know we've done a couple of these, so.
Yeah, I mean, what I think is they don't understand the amount of items required to create a vacation rental,
right?
It's not just a couch and a bed and, you know, TV. You need to make it feel upscale. You need to make it feel like a home because that's the kind of the vibe people want. You need to create workspaces. Like, why do I need to buy a desk? Because people usually are booking this so they have the flexibility of working and not. You need to buy furniture outside because when people come to on vacation, they imagine themselves, whether it's cold or warm, they want to be outdoors having a drink, a glass of wine, and seeing the scenery. And if we have a pool, always try to get a pool if you can, is what we recommend. So I think for us, it's really getting them on board quickly. I think we've had some challenges in the past furnishing places because they always want to go with IKEA furniture and get that lower price. And we always tell them you can get it, but you won't get the daily rates, right? IKEA furniture gets you IKEA prices and the daily rate. Mm-hmm. And so we keep preaching that to everybody. And I think the other is when they're shopping around for management companies, I think is confusing to them. Like, why this one's saying they're doing it, they'll do it for 10%. And you're saying you're going to do it for 20 or 25%. Why? And so we've learned very quickly. It's like when I was trying to get a flight on Spirit Airlines recently, I was like, it always gets me. I was like, oh, it's $94 to fly to Charleston. And then it's like, well, if you want to pick your seat, it's another $25. And if you want to bring a carry-on, it's $25. And if you want to bring a luggage, it's $50. And all of a sudden, it's more expensive than if I just booked it with American Airlines that has one flat rate. And so I always tell people that now. We've been telling people that kind of analogy because that's what happens. Everything's included in our price, and we all are hotel trained. So I think people are confused sometimes when they see different management companies. Right. We just lost a property to a cheaper competitor, even though we've made them record numbers. Right. And so I'm curious to see how that goes when they save the price and they see those things.
Yeah. And if I could interject here, Steve, you just made me think of a little story here that actually, you know, just yesterday I was walking through an owner, and as we're going, you know, we're furnishing the property, where it's a new property that we're onboarding. Beautiful. Modern home, and we're going through all the furnitures with the owners, and you know, we're going one by one, you know, showing her what the style, what the vibe, the ambiance is going to be like. And she's looking at those prices, you know, and she's saying like, wow, you know, this piece, like, I'm sure she just, you know, goes into Google really quick. It's like, oh, I see this, you know, this beautiful bench, I know I can get this, you know, for a much cheaper price on Wayfair, you know, how we talked about on IKEA elsewhere. But I, you know, had to pause the owner. I'm like, Just remember, we are gonna set it up. We're gonna coordinate it. We're going to assemble the items. We're gonna put it and make sure everything is set. And we're gonna check to make sure it's not coming damaged, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole process, a whole step that you're not taking into account. And when I mentioned that to her and reminded her that, you know, it all clicked to her, and she said, "Oh my God! Like, yes, that makes so much sense. That's why there is this price that I know, you know, is much higher than a IKEA furniture. But you're right, you know, if I buy that a Wayfair furniture or IKEA, you know, it's going to come here. Who's going to set it up? Who's going to assemble it? I'm going to have to hire a handyman, which is going to, and at the same time, an amount you start coming, you know, you brought the analogy of the Spirit airline. And if you go towards the whole scheme of everything, you're going to spend probably more or even
similar, you know,
similar to it. So it's interesting, right? And that's something that I just saw firsthand and walking through an owner yesterday.
No, look, I've had this dream for a long time. We've been talking about it for forever, of having packages of furniture. I think we're almost there. So I don't want to announce it yet, but I want to say, like, this dream was having three different packages, right? So your entry level, premier, and ultra luxe. And so we can go to owners and say, here's your different packages. Here's what you can expect to get, and have a partner that can help us with that furniture, design it for us, distribute it efficiently, and still have a higher level than residential feel, because that breaks down pretty easily, but it's still almost a commercial. The challenge has been, you can do that pretty easily with hotel furniture, but it takes 12 to 16 weeks to get that, because they're all custom for each project. And most of the owners that we work with, and even us, if we had our own property, I want to be up within the month. And so the way you do that is you would go to Target, or you would go to IKEA, or you would go to your local furniture company and try to piece these things together. And then if something is out of style, it's hard to do. But I think we finally found a partner. It's regional yet, not national, but regional, that is building this for us. And we're doing it in our first homes right now with them. So if this goes well, I think we've figured out this solution, because they're designing things for us. They're helping us as like part of our team, which I've been liking to see. They're responding quickly. So once it goes right, I'll share it with you all, because I would want to give them a shout out, especially to the people that are helping us. But how are you feeling about it? Because it's been a long time of us throwing things together and having to go shopping and doing stuff. How do you feel about it?
Yeah. And you know, anybody listening, you know, that when they hear us talking about, you know, our what we want to get to as far as like setting up packages, you know, think about it from our point of view. We're coming from hotels, and that's kind of where, you know, our mindset is. And that's how it works in hotels, because we're, you know, trying to standardize, you know, items without limiting, you know, that experience and that home feel and that, you know, that vibe that we're going for the property. But, you know, it is much easier for an operational team to have items that they're accustomed to, or have, you know, pieces and furniture that they're used to, and going into several properties and seeing like, okay, I remember, you know, this item, it usually, you know, you need to clean it over here because it collects, you know. So it's our thinking of standardizing items, just as in hotel, because one of the difficult components is that all properties that we currently manage, since we don't do, you know, the arbitrage model, is that, you know, every property is different. All the layouts are different. All the items and the pieces are different. So in our point of view, what we see a clear vision is in standardizing and then providing packages. And then if the owner with, you know, if they go with the Lux package and they love everything they see there, they have the ability to switch, you know, items around, where that's basically just a preference thing, right? And that's kind of where we make things seamless for the owners, for ourselves, for the company that is helping us with the furnishing. And I'm excited. You know, this is the first one of the properties that we're going through this process with the company you're mentioning. So I'm excited to get more properties onboarded and more projects working with them.
Yeah. Once this project's up and running, I won't gatekeep anymore. I'll share their information. I just want to make sure that before I recommend something, that it actually does really well. But I'm feeling very hopeful just based off of everything going on, because we worked with designers in the past who were very nice, but it was all custom stuff that we just couldn't get fast enough. And there's other companies out there that, you know, are known in the industry that you can buy stuff off and they help coordinate, but it's still, you have to go to Crate and Barrel. You still have to go to Pottery Barn. You still have to go to these places and they help coordinate it, which we didn't love either. I mean, it's good if you're standalone, I think, right? So lots of options, but I think I finally figured out what I've always wanted for the last 6 years.
Exactly. And do you remember in hotels when you were going through that process, opening up a new restaurant or a new hotel with rooms? Do you remember that process? Was it easy for hotels also? Or
it was easier. Like, we would go. So here's what we would do. We went to a company called the Parker Brothers, who I actually called about this project way back in the day. And the Parker Brothers are one of the biggest on the globe. And what they do is they source furniture and fixtures and supplies from all different places. And you go to their offices and you touch and feel and you see things. And then they help coordinate when you're getting a 700 room property and they have 700 beds and 700 couches and 700 desks, right? They coordinate all of those things in their warehouses and bring them over. But once they get brought over to you, you have to have organized your team to unload these trucks. Like, these truck drivers, I remember, came to one of the hotels that we worked at, and I got a phone call. They're like, hey, the truck driver's here with all your pool furniture, which was, you know, 500 chase lounges and cabana furniture. They're like, someone needs to unload it. I was like, it's just me here.
Sounds like a fun day.
So us and a bunch of managers in our suits unloaded a bunch of chase lounges that day. But that's probably a challenge, was, you know, we think you have everything lined up. You think you have a perfect plan. And then I learned my lesson from that one. That won't ever happen again. But yes, it's much easier because you know what you're getting. You know the amounts you're getting. They're always available because they're custom made for you. You can replace them. But that's the challenge with vacation rental homes, is I want to get to the point where if that couch gets a stain on it or someone tears it up, that we have an identical couch that we can change. Or if a headboard gets messed up, or a piece of, you know, furniture gets messed up, you have an exact replica. We're not just there yet, but we're very close. So
I love that you shared that story. So if any listeners or owners, you know, don't feel bad and don't feel overwhelmed. Even hotels, you know,
we have the best award-winning luxury hotels. Exactly. You have to roll your sleeves up every once in a while.
Exactly. It's never easy. I was a part of one hotel that was doing the same, and we worked in the hotel. That's where we met Trump National Doral, and I was not a part of the planning process. I was the part of the, you know, the unloading and all that process, and we did it in phases, and it was difficult, you know, just like you said. It was trucks that were coming in that never been to the property before. They didn't know what lodge that they needed to drop off this furniture. We had to guide them all the way through, unload all this stuff, and it's just so much stuff, you know, going in. And all while we had another part of the hotel running with guests. So that was a fun experience, yeah, but
way harder.
Way harder. So interesting, right? It's we're seeing that in the hotels, and similar over here too in the vacation rentals world as well.
Yeah, I'm helping a hotel right now. They're going through similar things. And so I've learned a lot. I'm able to help them and remind them, hey, make sure you're ready for this. That's the fun part about us. But man, we flew through episode 21 here. Incredible. You know, 30 minutes goes by fast. We'll have to continue on our journey of another 21, but I just 42. Want to congratulate us on getting through 21 of these episodes and sharing a bunch of knowledge. We're getting better every show. And again, if we could help you in any way, make sure to contact us at tangymanagement.com or tangymgmt.com. And make sure to share this episode. And Victor is raising his finger. If you're not watching the video, what do you got to say?
Yeah,
Victor?
One thing. I want to remind everyone, we have favorite event going on in Orlando this September, September 9th through the 11th. So we'll be there. We'll be guest speaking, and it's always fun to go out in Orlando and stay over there and meet and see new faces and meet new people. So we'll be there coordinating with our team, with the favorite team, but make sure to check it out. And it's September 9th through the 11th in Orlando. And there's information everywhere on what hotel and what they provide. So hope to see everyone there.
All right. Well, I think that's great. I would love to see you all there. We're going to be speaking on some panels, so you can come and Victor will sign some autographs for you, whatever you need as the co-host of Tangy Talks. But until next week, have a great weekend, everybody.